You're listening to a Count Out Podcast.
Well, what is up, guys? This is Lauren with another episode of Your Dose of Death podcast. As always, I'm joined by my good, dear co-host, Mike Servino. We really are just rolling with the punches today. Our original plans kind of fell through, but hey, as the great Daniel D'Amato said, we got to roll with the punches. So we're really just kind of going on a whim here. We've basically been conversing for the last hour trying to figure this out. But hey, I got my wine.
Yeah, we're gonna shoot the shit. Do it off the cuff. Bring you guys a bit of a different episode than our.
As you guys know, I was at ICW No Holds Barred in Chicago. Actually, got a few little stingers here and there from some tubes.
Nice.
Amazingly, I didn't like. Funny enough, I bled a little bit, but I didn't like to the point where it was like. Down the leg, it was just like little, like it's almost like a zit.
Did you take Advil though before you went?
No,
you got it. If you take Advil, bro, and you get like a little nick, you'll pour out. Remember Cage of Survival? How bad?
Yeah.
That's because I took an Advil.
I don't do that.
Yeah, my blood was so thin, man.
Yeah, and then you got bandaged up, and they're like,
that's how you. That's how you get the death matches. Take Advil.
But no, I got a few little stingers, but nothing real crazy. Really was happy though. I took some awesome clips, as Mike's already seen.
Yeah, I've been using them. Thank you for that.
Yeah, I mean, I literally watched. I was like basically one of the best seats in the house, right near the entrance area.
You got the Kings Road filming clip area.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Right.
Yes.
And it's funny. Danny was like, "You have a great seat after show one," and I'm like, "Yeah, I'm right over there." He's like, "Oh." He thought he gave me a different seat, but I'm like, you gave me the perfect seat. I don't care.
Man. The best seat to anybody taking video clips is opposite hard cam.
Well, opposite hard cam, but like near the entrance area too, if you want good entrance clips.
Well, I do at GCW, and I've gotten yelled at this. I'm sorry, everybody, but like I'll just run to the entrance and then I'll run back. Like,
yeah, so, I know. Yeah. I always like see you running around and I'm like, oh, hey, there's my buddy Mike running around.
Yeah, because I realize like the entrance videos like get a lot of views. People like those. So
yeah,
I'll take them and they're easy. They're no risk. There's no blood. So I'm not going to, the video's not going to get taken. Yeah, it's just an easy thing to do.
Right.
Yeah, I will be in the crossfire, I hope.
Oh, you'll be ICW in the cross. Show. You'll be at No Holds Bar 32.
I'm there front row with Justin, and we're going to be getting hit with tubes. I'm going to risk it all again.
Yeah, you're gonna try to get the TJ Tony D effect where he gets, like, nothing. The man, like,
gets
literally
nothing anywhere slides.
I'll be with Tony this week, and I'll be like, what's your secret, man? What is your secret? It's the slacks. It's the slacks, isn't it? But yeah, no, it was good shows. I'm really happy with the Neil Diamond Cutter promo I filmed. If you haven't seen that, go check it out on Kings Road Wrestling on Instagram. It's already up to, as I look today, it's like 930 likes with like 19 comments on it.
For which one?
The Neil Diamond Cutter promo.
Okay, he did great.
Yeah, like, I mean, and just, I haven't been able to like go on air and talk about that process, but I'll kind of give you guys behind the curtain kind of deal. So Neil had messaged me because he had told me that he was going to be back with ICW and he was going to do the match with Carver. And I had no idea. He's like, I want to make it a stip. And I'm like, what stip are you thinking? And he's like, I want to do like a tribute to Marcus Crane, like a Dream Eater, Death Eater death match. I think originally it was going to be Dream Eater death match.
Wasn't it Dream Eater?
No, Larry pronounced it as Death Eater Deathmatch.
Okay.
But so he's like, I want, like, I'm getting a riot shield from a fan. I want someone to recreate the Devil's Big Red Dick, which is where I came in. And I'm like, I'm going to get tubes for the show. I'll just leave them for you. And so we literally I came to the venue early. I was in the pouring rain. It was like, it was just after noon there, and it was in the rain. I'm like walking, because I didn't want to leave my car, like just carry these already like heavy light tubes. And so, I mean, I, mind you, I got a 10 pack along with a 2 pack, so like 12 light tubes. And the day before, I actually went to Party City to get the balloons that you saw for the dick. So
yeah, yeah.
Literally, I just went in there. Murdoch was actually the first one who saw me, and he's like, "Hey, buddy, how you doing?" And he just points at Ryan's like, "Ryan, he's got tubes." And Weapons Master Ryan's like, "Put him at the bench." But Neil actually called me on like Facebook, and he's like, "Hey, where are you?" And we met up, and I just brought the tubes over to him, brought everything over. Went our separate ways. He was getting stuff ready. He was helping set up the chains. And me and him for the first show, he was telling me, "Oh, like, if you want to come to the locker room and like make sure I'm okay after the match, you can do that. Like, Ryan already knows who you are." I'm like, I don't need to come back to the locker room, because if you've been to Summit Park, the locker room literally was a little room, like where the curtain was, like right next to the curtain. Like the curtain, like expanded out into the lobby.
That's our ballroom too. The locker room's right there, and I accidentally stumbled in on it to find tape for someone that got cut.
Yeah,
and I walk in, and Tremont's like just looking at me. Danny's looking at me. I'm like, "I'm sorry. I'm bye."
But so the night went on, and as you saw, I literally started the Marcus Crane chants for when Carver came out with the big red dick, and I'm not going to say who it is, but I saw Carver unmasked for the very first time.
Nice.
Like I put two and two together. He's a dapper fellow. I'll say that. I'll say he's a dapper fellow. Okay. But I was really happy to see Carver. Carver had the awesome Marcus Crane jacket. I didn't know that Carver had trained under Marcus, so Neil told me. So both of them really had a lot of emotional stake in that match. And so match went on. They killed it. I was really happy with how everything went. Neil had the light tube riot shield. I don't know how he got the clown mask. I'm not too sure actually how I got the clown mask. I have to ask him.
Somebody, Ryan Drinkwater.
Oh, Ryan Drinkwater. Okay. Well, shout out to Ryan Drinkwater for getting him that mask. That was really awesome to see that. But the two of them really hit it off. Like I thought this was personally Carver's best match. And this is just another feather in the cap for Neil. We already know his legacy. And so match ends. I'm like going to the back. Everyone's like I'm like hugging near the locker room, but I'm not like in it. Like Darren McCarty and Tommy Vendetta see me, and they're like, and I see Sean P, who of course has been a guest on this podcast, Ref Sean P, or SPO, I should say. And he just looks at me. He's like, "He's fine. Like he's good." And Neil comes out like just bloodied up, like just like no shit's given. And everyone's like, "Oh yeah, Neil, fuck yeah." And I just give him like the biggest hug after that match. We both kind of shed a tear after that.
And then you filmed the promo.
Then we filmed the promo. Funny story though, because of course you saw his head was still bleeding, because I had to get my flash on, and he's like, "Can you like put the light over to see if like it's still like a hard red, like it was bad." And I'm just like, "Yeah, that's what you had. That's what happens when you take a gusset to the head like that." And he took the gusset clean.
They both did some crazy shit, including just a splash, not into the ring,
but outside of it.
Outside of the ring. Neil's crazy. Yeah, yeah. Ooh, with red tubes too, the fucking paint.
The big red dick tube.
And apparently, like from affidavits of current deathmatch wrestlers, that's not really good because it gets in your bloodstream.
No, I've heard it too. Yeah.
They went all out and screw it. And they did an awesome job. I liked it from the minute they came out. I thought this was an awesome match. I think they did it right. Unfortunately, GCW when they tried to do their tribute match.
Well, injuries, then last minute schedulings.
Yeah. But this was really done well. And it was a surprise. It kind of like no one really expected it. It was cool.
Oh, there were only maybe about at least 5-6 of us that really knew this was going to happen. Like, we really try to keep this as low key as possible because we wanted it to be a surprise to people. And so the minute Carver came out, I couldn't really hold the surprise anymore. I was like, I'm starting a Marcus Crane chant. You all see me on IWTV starting the Marcus Crane chant. So now you all know, and everyone's got in on it. And like, me and Carver made eye contact while that happened. And I could tell he was smiling under the mask too. You could tell.
Yeah, you gotta.
It was just, it was funny. It was funny because I was filming it and I started. And he just like looks at me. He's like, yep, he knows.
I hate when that happens, like when you're filming and the wrestler looks at you and then you kind of like smile down. Yeah, it's like a little awkward. But
but it was a touching moment. And I mean,
for sure. And I had my own experience with this whole Marcus Crane thing. I was at the show for New Year's a couple days after he passed away, and they had a whole tribute.
Yeah.
The whole night was dedicated to him. And, you know, we had Marcus chants in Atlantic City, and that just goes to show the legacy of Marcus from Atlantic City to Chicago to California, just a true trendsetter, trailblazer in the deathmatch world.
And so I've talked about before in public on this podcast before you were co-host. I did a kind of like a special goodbye message to Marcus. You guys can go back and listen to it. But to me, I don't know if many people know the story. I don't even think I've told you this, but the very first time me and Marcus quote unquote interacted was through my dear friend Nick Hausman, who many of you know, who works through Wrestle Inc. and does stuff with them. Mm-hmm. Him and Marcus became very good friends. When Marcus got hurt, Nick was trying to raise money for his medical expenses. And one of those things he did, and this is how me and Nick first met, was it was a Royal Rumble watch party. This was back in 2019. And I had won the 50-50 raffle. So it was an $80 pot. And so $40 went to Marcus's medical expenses.
Okay.
And I tweeted at Marcus, like, I'm just happy I can do anything for you. And Marcus really appreciated the pleasantries. And I felt that bond ever since. I've had the great pleasure of being in the same room as him, talking to him. We never talked about wrestling. We never, ever really, or we talked a little bit, but it was always just about how's life.
Now that I think back on it, the times that I spoke to him, we never talked about wrestling either. Yeah.
He loved wrestling, but he never really wanted to talk about outside of it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, he was just interesting, man.
He was an interesting guy. And I mean, as someone from Chicago, I didn't really know like Chicago deathmatch guys who represented the city, represented a genre that wasn't really represented enough of the city. Marcus was that guy. He will remain that guy for the rest of time. I mean, we've had guys from like Neil Diamond Cutter, East St. Louis, Illinois. I mean, we've had guys, Vic Capri did a deathmatch. But Marcus was really the pinnacle of like Chicago deathmatch. I mean, he represented the city better than I think anyone ever imagined. And he did it in his own way. And that's what made him so incredible. I still to this day credit Marcus for one of the reasons I'm doing what I'm doing now. I wouldn't be here without Marcus. And I mean, getting to honor him as best as I could, as best as any of us could, because really it was almost like a sense of closure for me. I didn't really have a way to contribute to help others like Marcus would. And I know there was a lot of people who were really, really happy with the way that went. And that made me happy in my own sense. And sorry if I'm a little emotional, but Marcus meant an absolute world. Like one of my last conversations with him before he passed away was when he was in the middle of his recovery from the surgery. And he was like, me and you got to get a drink at Exit, the bar he used to work at in the city. And he's like, just remember, if you're going to come out drinking with me, you're not driving. Mm-hmm. So I just remember that moment. And it's one of the last times I remember talking to Marcus. My last time I saw him was when he was at the H2O Center.
Yeah.
Training under Trima.
Yeah.
This was at ISW. And he was like showing off his boots to me. He was like, he was screwing around with me, like doing like kung fu kicks with me and all that. It's just the Marcus I remember. And I'm just happy that me, Neil Carver, and several others got to share this moment together, because we didn't get to have that type of, I mean, yes, GCW in Chicago, I did share in that moment. And for a lot there, not a lot of the fans there really knew Marcus like I did.
This is more like a deathmatch heavy crowd, you know?
Exactly. These are like lifers who enjoy the genre. Like back then, this is no offense to anybody who comes to GCW shows for Chicago, I just didn't feel the same sentiment. And I mean, in the match, tried its best. Alex tried his best. Jimmy tried his best. It's just Nate Webb getting hurt really was unfortunate. Nate was a guy who really was instrumental with Marcus in his later years.
Angel always, Angel Metro, shout out to Angel, go follow her and support.
Shout out to Angel.
She always references on Instagram how Marcus like loved Nate Webb, and Nate's awesome. I was fortunate enough to see his final match, which isn't even listed on Cage Match. If you go look at it, it's not
at Destiny.
Yeah, he came out and did a rumble.
Him and Schlack did that awesome finisher.
Mm-hmm. I spoke to him like at the Trenton Stadium, and I always think back that like I really regret not getting a picture with him there, because I just didn't want to bug it. I don't know. It wasn't on my mind. And now after that, I always
want to
get pictures with people, you know?
I'm lucky enough. My Twitter profile picture is still of me and Marcus at Replay. This was, again, through my good friend Nick Hausman, who he was setting up the when AEW Rampage first started. We did like a watch party, and he was asking me how everything was going. He was like, "Yeah, like it's really good." He like wanted my opinion on certain death matches, and he was like, "You know, Marcus is coming tonight," and I literally was like, "Wait, seriously? Like, you're telling me this now?" Like he set it up like Marcus. He wanted Marcus to come out, so it was pretty funny when Marcus came. I gave him like the biggest hug. Like I literally treated him like a brother. So that profile picture of me and him on Twitter, I don't know if I'll ever change that. I don't know if I'll ever change that. I don't know if I ever will. But enough about that. I mean, we could talk about Marcus Green for freaking days. I mean, literally. Mm-hmm. Moments about moments, but the mystery show, by the way, was a nice, smooth six match card, nice and quick. Didn't feel like anything was really too long. But that main event, I was so freaking uncomfortable during that main event with Schlack, Cruel, Mickey, and okay, I'm gonna tell everyone a story here. Sadika is not. I have taken back everything I've said about Sadika. but listen, there's a reason why. So I'm waiting in line to get in to doors, and so some of the wrestlers are coming in. So like I saw like Hoodfoot and Tommy Vendetta, Oren, and I see Sadika, who's in her mask. This woman is freaking shaking our hands. I'm like, is this the freaking president? Like shaking hands. I'm like, there was a baby there and she kissed. I would have lost my mind. She's taking a photo of us. She's like nodding her head, like shaking her hands. I'm like, you could kill us right now. And she's just like smiling. She's like, thank you for coming. And this, I'm like, my heart rate like went up like several notches. I'm like, oh my God.
Yeah, I'm a little bit scared of her and Mickey. I don't want to piss either of them off.
Okay, I call her Mama Mickey, but she has told me to refrain from that, so I call her Auntie Mickey now.
Yeah, she's Auntie, but she'd kill you.
Auntie Mickey,
she'd kill both of us.
Listen, if you want to go back and know how crazy Mickey Knuckles is, there is an interview way near the beginning of Your Dose of Death's inception that was still to this day one of the craziest interviews I've ever done in my life. Zoom call while she's getting ready for WrestleMania weekend of last year while at Walmart and then Qdoba. So
that's great.
It was one of the greatest things I've ever done.
This was bonkers. This four-way death match between Cruel, Mickey Knuckles, Sadiq, and Schlack.
And Cruel and Schlack were just like eyeing each other the first 3 minutes of this thing.
Whenever you add Schlack, and I've been to one of these like four or six-way matches with him involved in it at the H2O Center, it was unbelievably off the chain. Like, you know what you're getting into. Like, this is going to be just like, you can't keep your eyes in one place. And that's what this was. It was, I can't imagine being there. The videos, I don't even know how I'm going to post these because they're too violent.
I got this. I can't post this, but I've sent it to you. It's this great clip, and I'll just describe it for everyone. It's Mickey after the match. You know what clip I'm talking about now?
Yeah, she's bloody. Yeah.
No, she's like, so God bless Mickey's family that shows up to every show of hers to bring her like the pink rosé tequila shots. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, the shooters.
The shooters. So, first of all, I was literally carrying Mickey's sunglasses for the entire match. Because she was flailing them, and they happened to touch my feet mid-entrance. So I'm like, oh, I'm just chilling. So I see, like, her family members, and I'm like, listen, this is her glasses. And they have this cooler of, like, 10 of these shooters. There's, like, 10 in a little cooler. And Mickey's like, bring him here. And she's, like, she's literally, like, opening them with her mouth and, like, downing them. So I sent you that clip. And I'm like, oh my Lord.
There was a picture also that Dan Radomski posted, and it's just her in the ring, like just downing a shooter. It's just so bloody.
I took a clip of one of those.
Yeah.
And I'm just like sitting there. I'm like right in front of that. So I'm just sitting there like, oh my Lord, this is what I walked into.
Yeah. If you want a wild, just unpredictable match, then this one I would definitely go back and watch.
I'm going to say another match that I don't think gets enough appreciation. And I mean, most of this show was kind of, it had its moments, but Orin Tommy Vendetta was really, really good.
I am on like, I'm on a big Orin Vite kick right now. And
yes,
I'm just like going through all his matches and highly enjoying a lot of them. And
this is another one to add.
Orin's my favorite of the month probably right now.
Flavor of the month, bro. But here's the thing that made this really good. And I'm going to mention Stephen A here for a second, because Stephen has been a critic of guys jumping up at one after a big move.
Mm-hmm.
Orin and Tommy did this perfectly when Orin put Tommy into that chair contraption and literally. Tommy's going for their Orin's going for the pin. They get up at one, but they go straight to the finish. They don't waste like 3 minutes. They didn't do any of that. Like, this is how you do a match if you're gonna like actually like hit the top of the match and then go right to the finish.
Yeah, I like when Alex does it. They executed it well. It can backfire or it could really ignite the crowd.
This really ignited the crowd. Yeah. The crowd really popped. Tommy Vendetta was one of my MVPs of those shows, by the way.
He did well. I think Orin did extremely well, too.
I mean, for one match, and I mean, that tope that Tommy did was, like, right in front of me. So I kind of...
Yeah, right
like,
when the match started, boom, hot start.
I couldn't get a clip because I was so nervous that if, like, they ran into me, I would fall over.
Well, dude, that's not fun. Like, I'm always in the front row, and... Like, I'm more scared of the topes and the front flips than the tubes.
I'm the same way. Cause like Tommy, like so Orin's like, yeah, let's get hyped Chicago. And Tommy's like running at us. And I'm like, yeah, oh my God, I'm getting the hell out of the way.
I got run into by Ciclope and, Alex and both of them, bam. And, that was like, I remember one time when you weren't here, but this was at a Marge show.
Okay.
Came out with a door, and we were all like, just like talking, like shooting the shit in the front row. And Blake comes.
Oh, was this the Briscoes Blake match?
Yeah, not. He did it with Biff and the Briscoes. Yeah.
Okay, with Biff as well. Okay, Yeah, because Blake Christian's been like, oh yeah, I'm just gonna eat on this door, whatever.
Also, but,
okay.
Bev and Otis was reckless as fuck. I liked which I like.
Okay, the Bev was another guy. The Bev was another guy who did good.
Nobody in 2022 throws tubes like the Bev. He just yeets them as hard as he can at people. It's awesome.
That match, so they did the thumbtack bat stuff, and one thumbtack, like, it didn't like poke me, but it like went in, like it went into my shirt. Like, okay. it didn't poke me, but like I felt something, like it was like hanging on my shirt, like my shirt tucked it in.
Got it.
And like, I'm like, oh, so
they
shit. Went,
yeah, they were swinging hard, both of them.
They swung really hard. Otis was balls to the wall and Taz. The Bev is just, oh my Lord.
Yeah, he's brutal, bro.
I will say, he knows how to, the ladies fall head over heels for that man.
Dude, I love the Bev. Everybody loves the Bev.
Robert Beveridge.
He threw the tubes as hard as he could, a bundle at Otis's arm, and you could see in the video that you sent me,
yeah.
It hit and it immediately started bleeding. It was like,
he really hits hard. He had a good match with Dale though, the night show.
Well, if he get a couple hard tube throwing with hard hits, like hard punches, then I think he'd be sick. Just the Bev, if you ever listen to this, just lay into people.
Robert Beveridge. Listen to us, Bev, Robert Beveridge. But yeah, no, that was a good one. Yeah, it was just really good. Another great story from that, and I have to give this guy a shout. You've seen my Instagram posts, and you already know, but Darren McCarty listens to this show and gave us the most excellent, honest opinions. Darren, and okay, as an actual hockey fan, this guy, in my childhood, was the bane of my existence as a Blackhawks fan. I mean, Chicago-Detroit, that's like the rivalry of all rivalries. This dude instigated all Hawks players. He was a jerk. He was a goon, as most hockey fans know, but one of the absolute sweetest people in the wrestling business right now. There is not a better... I mean, you know how, like, with wrestling, there's always, like, they're always looking for crossover people. People who come from a different sport or a different discipline, a celebrity or so. Yeah. Like, Darren McCarty is Deathmatch Wrestling's crossover star, per se.
Yeah, it's cool to have that in Deathmatch.
Like, you don't see many guys really waving the Deathmatch flag that are not in, like he is. Like, and he literally told me, like, he likes the fact that me and you both know what we're talking about. We watch the shows, like, and I'm like sitting there, I'm like, trying not to like cry over this. I'm like, shit, Darren McCarty, a guy who I've known for years as an NHLer, is telling me that he likes my podcast. I'm like, shit, like this is like fanboy moment for me.
Yeah, it's cool, dude.
And he was super nice, him and Tommy, great dudes. That Detroit car, there was a few guys in that Detroit car. Shout out MM3, shout out Tommy, shout out Darren, that Detroit car. I'm gonna actually, fun story, I'm gonna be in Detroit for Horror Slam come September 9th. So if you are in the Detroit area, say hello. I'll be there on Joel Bateman's behalf, as well as York and Jordan Sampson's, of course. So pretty much the DMDU contingent. But yeah, that Detroit area has got some ballsy deathmatch guys, I gotta tell you.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. But yeah, that was a cool story. Thank you, Darren.
Yeah, thank you, Darren. I mean, well, Darren, if you're listening, we'll definitely have you on in the near future. I'll reach out and make sure that happens, because we'd love to have you on.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
And I also, I mean, considering the fact that three of us are all connected in a way, since we all sponsored Joel Bateman's last tour.
Yeah.
So we have to make that happen for everyone's sake.
Definitely.
What else? I mean, yes, there were some unruly fans. Yes, they were dealt with. Yes, they have been to multiple shows and nothing's been done about them before. I'm not trying to be mean. It just, it happens. Yeah,
what did we say earlier before we came on here?
Shout out to Struggles, by the way, for literally being the man mid-show and talking to them, telling them to calm the hell down.
As a wrestling fan, you get one drunk pass where you could fuck up and be an idiot for the night, and then like you gotta shape up after that.
No,
you
know? but there wasn't just one. There was like a good four. There was four of these guys, or as Ron and Struggles call them, mutants.
This is what I always say, dude, to people. ICW is like a party when you go.
It's a party, but like
it's hard to not have like a blast and like, yeah.
Like there's partying, but then when you're having me told to calm yourself down, that's not really a party.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
It's hype shit, bro. People, it's like it's crazy when you go to one of these. If you haven't gone to No Holds Barred, go.
Oh, go, of course. But just don't be the dude looking like a fool with his Hawaiian shirt unbuttoned all the way down, trying to look like a supermodel.
I wonder if he's going to Chicago.
I don't know, dude. And I don't care.
Yeah, whatever. Have a beer and then have a water and then a beer, you know.
Control yourself as well.
Go back and forth. And then you can get real drunk when you get home, you know.
Exactly. Like I don't need to see people bust the tube over their head, which in fact happened, and I'm just gonna leave it at that.
Have you ever done that?
No.
Not like at home or anything?
No, I don't.
You've never done that? Come on.
No, I'm not one of those.
I've done it twice. I did it with a bundle.
That must have sucked.
It did suck. Yeah, I cut my head. but if you have a lot of hair, it kind of
protects. Oh, the glass gets stuck in
it
there.
It does. You gotta like But if you're bald, which most
guys
are, you're just going to bleed.
Yeah, like, I'm not going to do that. I mean, just saying, like, there's being a fan, and then there's being what happened there. Just be mindful of everyone else around you. I literally, the Schlack-Remington Roar match, this was a good match, by the way.
That was a good match.
That was a good match.
That was fire.
Really good. So Schlack was, like, leaving. And one of the few select Nakin Poops. I'm not going to say who, but the one guy, he was just kind of stumbling around, had no idea where he was. He was like, yeah. Schlag, like, pushes him over.
Get him out
of my way. Like, right into me. Excuse me. Like, yeah. I'm like, dude, you need to go back to where you're sitting. Like,
yeah.
I had to yell at people. Because they were trying to hold the razor boards during the Neil Marcus the Neil Carver match.
Hold the razor board. I don't understand what you're saying.
So, you know, there was the one part of the match where like they had the razor boards, right?
Okay, what were they doing with the?
They were like they're helping Carver like put it on the corner, and then holding it for him to put Neil through. Like,
you're not a young boy. You're not in freedoms. Don't do
that. But like, it could have ended really bad if like one of those razor blades like flipped up and just bashed him in the head.
Dude,
like,
Justin and I have made that on several occasions, and it's kind of not worth it, to be honest.
And
people barely use it, and it's kind of risky.
It was risky. Like, they were like holding it with the hand by the tip. I'm like, do not hold it. Do not hold it. I literally yelled, I'm like, do not hold it. That is not okay.
Yeah, I don't want to make that anymore. I'll make something for Newark, because the last time I made a dowel bat. Maybe I'll make an even bigger dowel bat.
Mega dowel bat.
I'll make something crazy. Whenever I want to make something, I'll just watch like an early 2000s Big Japan match, and they always have something stupid there. And it's like, oh, that's cool. Like, they had like a pyramid I want to make.
Like two pyramids? Those are crazy. Yeah. I remember No Holds Barred 2, Akira Reed, they had like a freaking cube. They had like a cube.
That was like Akira's
his coming out party.
Match to date, I think.
That was his coming out party.
Yeah, it still holds up. It's still good.
I was gonna say that's a match that really holds up. But yeah, also, as you guys know, me, Mike, and Rafe are gonna sit down for Faces and Feels and do our the post event results. I believe Rafe is going to be tallying up everyone's score. As you already know, though, congrats Hoodfoot on winning Battle of the Tough Guys. All three of us did not have Hoodfoot winning.
But I think
the closest was Rafe had the Bev in the finals. He had the Bev in the finals. So he was the closest, but we'll see how it tallies up and who's going to donate to where. Thank you guys for listening in on that. If you haven't listened to it yet, go on over to Faces and Feels podcast. Was a great fun time, but can't wait to have Mike on there.
I actually got to know him after.
Yeah.
He's really cool. We've been talking.
I love Rafe. And he's a co-worker for the Countdown Network too. So
he's got some good stuff on over on his Faces of Feels.
Faces and Feels is great. But also shout out to him and Curtis who do Okada shorts that they literally just finished up their extensive G Wondering series, which was entire G1 climax.
Yeah, that's a hard thing to do. I only watched, I didn't really watch the Battle of the Tough Guys that much because I went on stream with Alex and Steven and they were like, we're gonna watch No Holds Barred. And then we got there and then they were like, I was assuming it was ICW, and then they're like, oh, we're watching the movie with Hulk Hogan. And I was like, so by the time that ended, I was like, I'm so tired. And then I didn't know what I was doing on Sunday. I got to get around to it. I did watch the Chicago stuff. They had a GCW show the same.
Yes, Chicago. Yes.
And I got to say, with that whole Atlanta show, I like that Hunter Freeman guy.
I didn't realize how tall he was.
He looks like just a redneck that you'd run into in Alabama that'll like wreck your shit up. Like he'll just looks cool.
I will say the no selling of the light tubes was a little interesting. It was a choice. Mm-hmm. Him no selling, I'm like, maybe sell it a little bit, just a teeny bit.
Bro, he's massive though.
But like he is big, so it's like, okay, like I get it.
Dude, he got cut in the knee. I thought he did well with Cologne.
I mean, again, it's interesting. People are like, oh, Cologne has his best matches with experienced guys. His track record with guys who have done their first death match is pretty damn good too.
Yeah. I think he's just so good. I think
he knows how to control the dance, and that's so key with some of these death matches because there's guys who apparently don't know how to like take the lead.
Dude, people continue to say online he's overrated. No, he's not, dude. It's more than just having bleeding a lot and hitting. No, it's timing.
It's timing. Psychology. It's technicality. Wrestling.
It's experience. He's got all of that, bro, and he's the most consistent. Like I think Cologne is.
I will say
the greatest ever. So
I will say this year, for the most part, was a down year. But I will say COS has turned the tide for him.
Oh yeah,
COS turned the tide. And
it's a down year, but he's still having.
But he's still good having matches, good matches. So like
that just attests to how good he is.
I do think the first two Murdoch matches were they both had their weird about them, but then COS was like, we're hitting the ball running on this. Like we're not screwing this up. And they didn't screw it up at all. Like they really went out.
And then of course, partner.
And then he went on and had a match with Rena, went on and had a match with Hunter Freeman. Hell, the match with Cole Radrick in St. Louis is really good too.
I like that match too. I know some people.
I think people were more concerned about Cole's well being with that match. And I think that kind of derailed it, but again, yeah, him and Alex, they hit it out of the park. Like it's this is normal. This is a walk in the park for Alex Cologne. And I mean, we're just witnesses. I mean, there are guys like Eric Ryan, who I will say about his chains weekend, it wasn't per se the best weekend he had. I thought the dog collar match was a very interesting stip ID, which again, I'm glad ICW No Holds Barred did stips. I just wish there was more to it instead of just a dog collar and a Taipei death match.
I'm done with Taipei.
Like Taipei
death, like it, bro. I don't.
It's really hard to get a good Taipei death match out these days. And many, many guys just don't really know the aspect of it. Honestly, if you're going to do a type A death match, and I'm going to say this, and I know there'll be people that be like, oh, no. Watch Ian versus Axelrod.
Yeah, what do you mean? That's a classic. No one should say anything about that.
Who knows? People will say what they want.
That's
Ian
the
Rod.
Best type A ever.
But so, that yeah. is. That's what I'm saying. Like, just watch that. That's like fundamentals. And it was good. Like, Eric is still leagues better than most guys. It's
well,
true.
I would say, like, what I said about Alex with the timing and all that, psychology, all the combination that makes him great. I would say Eric's pretty close to that as well. In my opinion.
Yes, I agree as well.
Eric's extremely, extremely soft.
Also, Eric is a very selfless man. He was dishing out forks to people. He literally gave, you remember the little girl who was at the No Holds Barred show, the night show in Chicago?
Mm-hmm.
So Eric's like dishing out forks to her. There was a fan from Japan, apparently, that I had no idea. He apparently came like with gifts for like Akira and Neil. Like, he got a fork from Eric. I was like, holy shit. But yeah, but like, Eric is like the slyest person in the room. He's like, he does like the backhand, like, baton toss of the forks to people. You ever see that? He's just like, here's a fork. Mm-hmm. It's hilarious. And I was like, him and Akira, okay. I kind of have some, I don't want to say that it was bad. I don't want anyone to think that.
I actually
liked it. I liked it, but I thought, but the problem is with acoustics and venues, I had no idea what Eric was saying.
Okay.
And so it's very like muffled. It's a gymnasium. So, but I thought the timing of when Eric was cutting that promo and then Akira beating him was really bizarre. It just ended flat. It didn't end the way I thought it would. And I was like, oh, yeah, Eric's doing the heel thing where, like, oh, cut a promo, then lose. He did that with Casey. But it just, this was just not it. I would have rather Eric cut the promo, keep bashing Akira with the tubes, and then Akira roll him up. That's what I would have rather done. Instead of Akira doing some weird teep kick with a tube to the chest. It didn't seem right to me. I don't know.
Sometimes the mic's off and it just screws it up.
Yeah, and I'm fine with what Eric's doing on this heel run. I just didn't like the execution of it, was all. And so, but another guy, yeah, Eric is really almost should have been the 3-time king of the death match this year.
Mm-hmm.
Just saying. What else? I mean, yeah, No Holds Bar coming up. I got the Chicago shows coming up.
Yeah, you got a lit weekend.
I got Art of War.
I wanted to go to this, but I only traveled for one show so far this year. I'm trying to get to Japan, so unfortunately I'm not going to be there, but Lauren will be there.
I'll be there. You may or may not see a certain wrestler wear a podcast shirt, which you can still buy on Deathmatch Worldwide. You can still buy our stuff on the Countout merch shop as well. So be on the lookout for that. The Art of War match, which is what we have been contractually told to call it, because apparently last year did not matter. Wink, wink. Thanks. But anyways, the Art of War match, of course, we got Bussy, Alley Catch, Effie, the Briscoes defending the belts, Los Macizos, the Mega Bastards.
Yeah, bro, I love that team. That's like
They make me laugh.
That's like my new favorite tag team.
Did I ever tell you what I tweeted when Cologne and Murdoch first came out?
What did you say?
I was like, how much did John Wayne Murdoch pay you to wear that flannel?
Yeah, that was great. That was like
that. If he wears a flannel in Chicago, I'm going to yell that at John and be like, how much did you pay my friend Alex to wear the flannel?
Yeah, right.
I'm gonna have a day with that. But I think the biggest thing, and we've talked about it here before, and you already know where I'm going with this. Thank you, Brett Lauderdale, for booking Sawyer Wreck in Chicago.
Oh, yeah. You were saying that last time.
Thank you, Brett.
Thank you, Sir Brett.
Brett, I think Brett may have listened to this episode and been like, yeah, I'm going to book her for Lawrence. Like, I don't know. But thank you, Brett.
He just probably realizes that she's awesome.
It's, again,
everybody likes her.
Sawyer season is rampant, is wild. She's getting booked at Black Label Pro, dude. She got booked at BLB.
I could see her going on to like AEW Dark. I really could. Kylan's there and they team together in matches.
Sawyer is the next, she is the next big deal in women's deathmatch wrestling. I mean, Rina Yamashita is the big deal now, but Sawyer's like waiting in the wings.
Sure, yeah. I mean, like, and she has a definite chance of winning that one next.
Yeah, I mean, her and Charlie Evans is, I don't think the Chicago fans are ready for that.
No.
I've seen both of them wrestle. I don't think my Chicago crowd's ready for that. I don't think they're ready.
So Sawyer's facing
Charlie.
Okay. That'll be good.
That is going to be, again, Charlie's another one who is an absolute gem. Awesome. Literally has, I've said this, and this is kind of, I don't want to say if this is a hot take, but if you want to talk about wrestlers who have redefined independent wrestling, she's one of those.
Yeah.
She has made it her goal to like destigmatize the whole intergender.
Charlie for sure is always, like,
she's just good at what she does, and she doesn't need like a label or something to do that. And it was funny at NGI last year when she was the surprise entrant, and her and Al, I literally told people, I was like, I do not want to see her versus Alex Colon, because I was like, I don't know who I could cheer for. I really don't. And then it happened, and I'm like, crap. Brett just, I think Brett reads my mind or something. And but that was a hell of a match.
You're a good booker, Lauren.
I'm a good booker that keeps it within the realms of reality, is what I say.
That could be true, yeah.
And but really, man, I mean, there's just so much going on. Yes, as you heard earlier, I'm going to Detroit for Horror Slam. Really excited. Actually, a couple listeners of the show were the ones who got me front row for that. Shout out to my good friend Noah Forbes for getting me the hookup for Horror Slam. So I'm going to be meeting up with him. And then, of course,
have you ever been to Horror Slam before?
No.
I heard it's a blast. I heard it's like, really
I heard it's nuts, dude. I've heard it's nuts.
Yeah, that's what I heard.
And so I'm excited to see how that goes. I mean, me and Joel Bateman are going to be meeting for the very first time, by the way.
That's awesome. It's going to be a reunion. Like
Not even a reunion. It's going to be like a first time meeting.
Yeah. Which you guys are going to embrace.
I messaged Joel today, by the way, and I told him to give me Tim Tams for when he comes.
What are those?
It's like the candy or whatever. It's like, let me find it for you. But because I was like, because ICW did their birthday wish for him, and they said, oh yeah, enjoy your Tim Tam slams.
Tim Tams.
Yeah, like it's called Tim Tams.
Just like Vegemite.
I don't know. It's like a cookie.
Okay.
Yeah, it's like an Aussie cookie. It's like a cookie. I'm like, I want me some Tim Tams.
Tim Tams.
So I told Joel, and he's like, remind me Sunday, and I'll bring them for you. I'm like,
okay. Yeah, Joel is a beast.
I love Joel, man.
Dude, why don't you tell the viewers the big announcement that DMDU had
for
the future of their company?
So, okay. So one, Dream is going to be coming out on IWTV Labor Day. So if you haven't got enough wrestling in your system, you get DMDU's big deathmatch tournament coming this upcoming Monday. So that, but the big news is they are starting up their own venue called the 3011 or the 3011 arena, a nod to the 2300 arena, the East W arena. So if you go on DMDU's Twitter, if you go on their socials, they're promoting it where it's like a fan-driven event where you can, if you donate a certain amount, there's different tiers. Your name could be on the arena. If you have a brand, you can have a banner, you know, all this different kind of stuff. And so the 3011, this is like going to be their like new home. This is going to be their 2300 arena, which to me is a huge step in their progression. I mean, again, in a country like Australia where deathmatch really isn't something that's like the top of everyone's list or the priority. It's not like GCW where everyone's like, oh, I want to see GCW with their ultra violence. DMDU that has built this super show now has their own home for it.
Yeah, and you could do so much more if you have your own venue. Like this is like Tremont. Look at Tremont. He could do whatever the hell he wants in there, really.
Yeah.
The thing that people don't think understand is like these venues that people go to, like they're so hard to get. They, you know, it's a risk. You know, they get freaked out all the time when they see the glass. And it's just like this, like, doesn't mix well with like private establishments. Mm-hmm. It really doesn't. It's hard to do. And in most of the United States, you can't do it.
Yeah.
It just happens to be that New Jersey has no laws regarding it. It's an outlaw.
And Illinois has very few venues that are like, okay, let's do
this.
Yeah,
even though Illinois doesn't have the laws, it's hard. You know, that's awesome for DMDU. They could really, you know, go all in with something like this.
So I'm looking at their site, which if you want to go check this out.
Yeah, they have a site, right?
Yeah. So the site itself is 3011arena.com.au. So
3011.com.au
or 3011arena.com, I should say. So apparently this is going to be in Melbourne's western suburbs. So Melbourne, if for those of you that know, this like DMDU home base. And now it's going to be the 3011 Arena in Footscray. Will be Deathmatch Down Under's home venue starting in late September, early October. As you know, it is a tribute. So basically, they're asking for different donations. So the contributions that you'd be, or someone on here will be giving, would basically be towards developing the required infrastructure, supporting administrative costs, and basically enriching the space in order to present industry standard wrestling events. Basically, these contributions alongside the revenue from the ticket sales and merchandising will continue to sustain the space into the future. So whether you buy merch, whether you watch an IWTV, maybe I think IWTV proceeds are going to start going to the 3011. And the nice thing about this, and this is the thing that's really important, and I don't want to be too political, but basically for Joel and a bunch of the other guys, like they really pride themselves on being like natives of Australia. And so apparently the 3011 is situated on the lands of the Wurundjeri, Woiwurrung, and the Bunurong peoples of the Kulin Nation, which is a huge deal. Like it's the land has never been ceded.
Yeah, and basically, I know that's on the website, right?
Yes, like it's a, like Kulin Nation is a very big deal to Joel and to like a lot of like that's a big thing in Australia apparently. And so apparently, like a percentage of our total revenue from this project will go towards the Pay the Rent Grassroots Collective to aid and ensure the sovereignty of First Nations communities as well.
That's
so
cool. Yeah,
they're literally giving to everyone and anything. And so, I mean, here's what you get. So the range is from $10 to $1,000, and it comes with a whole range of perks. So you get like an exclusive sticker, an exclusive t-shirt, which both are designed, by the way, by the great Redneck Kung Fu. If you know who that is, you know, you know, the NGI shirt from last year. That was Redneck Kung Fu.
Okay.
And if you know Planet Death, Alex Colon gets his designs, the shirts designed by her.
Okay. Yeah. I have
so Redneck Kung Fu is very well known here in the American Indies for a great merch design. Then basically like You could have your name printed on the t-shirt. There's a supporters plaque.
Yeah.
There's tickets to an exclusive secret show at the new arena.
So far, they've raised almost $3,000 of their $15,000 total from
So, which, by the way, so the secret show is basically, if you're there, you get open bar and catering or a DVD for international people unable to attend. Or you get like your name painted on the wall as venue as part of a mural for the IWTV. You can like display your brand with a small logo on the mural. I might sign up for that one. Reserves, you could like get like reserve seating, like a season ticket pass for every event. And you could like get your name brand permanently displayed on the printed banner hanging from the walls, or the big one, sponsoring one of their events, like for like per Dream, for example. So if you have any questions, go to deathmatch.under@gmail.com. So that's really the big thing. But so far, let's see here. Yeah, this says 2630, but I think yours might be more up to date, about 3000. So there's different ones. There's Deathmatch Rookie, Deathmatch Ready, Deathmatch Fan, Deathmatch Cornerstone, Deathmatch Champion, and then last but not least, the Deathmatch Legends, which is the $1,000 tier. So those are all the tiers. And it looks like a nice little venue. This is going to turn out really well for them, I believe. I don't know how you feel about this, but no, I think this is a great – I think this is a great – there's not a lot of companies that think this forward. I mean, mind you, I've been an avid follower of DMDU since literally Yurdos of Death started. Mm-hmm. I've known about it since this podcast has started. Me and Joel have been friends for a good while now. And the ideas he had, the way his shows were built, these are easy, digestible shows, people. If you haven't watched DMDU, I mean, their catalog is very, it's not the smallest, but it's big enough to like get you through a day of binging.
Yeah.
It's pretty digestible. And you can watch Dream, the first one. You could watch, there's some awesome matches. I mean, Cologne's been there. Jimmy Lloyd's about to be there for Dreamer, has been already. You're getting some really quality content. And it's going, and they're one of the most progressive promotions you'll ever see.
They probably have the best website for an indie promotion too. Yeah. Just looking at it now, and it's so organized. They have roster champion pictures. Like, yeah, like nobody else.
That's incredible.
I love a good website. I used to go on WWE.com as a kid and TNA and mess around on the website. Love websites.
But so the big thing here as well, I mean, it's really unfortunate that this happened, but Callum Butcher and Vixen were going to come here for Queen of the Deathmatch. And both of them, I talked to both of them. They were really gutted about it. But, I mean, you have guys like Joel coming up next, Jordan Sampson, York, who both are in Dream. York's now going to be a two-time entrant in the Dream Tournament. You have some guys from DMDU that are going to make a mark on the worldwide landscape of wrestling very soon. And I mean, look, if you want another person who really benefited from DMDU, who we've talked about earlier, Charlie Evans had some fantastic matches in DMDU, but some other people I want to give a shout out to, if you don't know this roster, I mean, Callan, Dixon, Mad Dog is like one of the pinnacles of Australian deathmatch wrestling. Who else? Damian Rivers, who was kind of the deathmatch ace before DMDU started, and he's kind of malformed into this new heel. He was undefeated for a really long time for DMDU's history in deathmatches until, I believe, a couple months ago. Who else? I mean,
York,
yes. Jordan Sampson as well. Will Walker's a guy who I really got to give a shout to. Young dude, crazy as hell. I don't know if you watched any Will Walker matches. Him and Joel have had a series of matches. I remember Will's first death match in DMD was against Vixen. and they brought out like cactus.
Yeah.
And I'm like, are you serious, dude? This is your first death match and you're using freaking cacti. He's awesome. Cammy Crawford, who, if those who don't know, he was the former Atlas CC Whitaker, who's now kind of become this deathmatch star under DMDU. He went from doing a light tube deathmatch with Joel under his old gimmick to now being like a legit deathmatch dude.
Uh-huh.
I know also shout out to Vic Craig, a good friend of the show as well. A good friend of Race at Faces and Feels, a guy who is one of the first New Zealander guys to be doing deathmatch. He runs Heathen Combat out there. And if you go on Faces and Feels with Vic Craig, there's a very special announcement that I cannot discuss just yet, but it's very big for those of you in the oceanic countries. So give a huge shout to Vic Craig, who runs Heathen Combat, who was also in Dream as well. So, I mean,
that, you know, so many people more than me, I feel like.
I keep my eyes and ears, and I mean, mind you, I've built a rapport with DMDU for over the last year. I've sponsored shows.
I feel like I don't know anyone. I feel like I know Joel.
Well, DMDU, again, is one of those promotions that, like, yes, they're on IWTV, but, like, unless you're, like, following them, unless you're covering them, you're not really, like, up to date, because, remember, their shows are, like, 2 weeks back on release.
It's, like, freedom.
Except they're putting out more shows on more international markets than they could have ever imagined.
What, like, Freedoms?
No, DMDU.
Oh, yeah.
Like most international promotions envy DMDU in the sense, like, they have a plan for not just their own domestic market, but for an international market. I mean, I don't think, as I've talked to Joel, he never realized how big of traction DMDU had from the very first show. And that also goes to show something that I think me and you both really like, is wrestler to fan interaction is so important in this day and age, especially on Twitter, especially on the social media. Like, they, like, when there's a show on here, the DMDU wrestlers, they're like, if you tag them or whatever, they'll respond back. Like,
yeah, they're pretty reachable.
The little things like that go a long way in getting the reach. So,
for sure, if you're in a niche market, then
yeah, exactly.
You know, you got a small community. yeah, but I'm definitely gonna give something to the arena. I think that's a good idea.
Yeah, I think we both will as well.
Mm-hmm. Also,
yeah,
I forgot. We discussed before this episode what we were gonna like shoot the you know what about. And we forgot to mention this, but congratulations to Drew Parker on becoming
the Freedom
champion, defeating Daisuke Masaoka.
Wow, I forgot about that.
Crazy. I have not seen the match. It hasn't
been released
anywhere.
It hasn't.
But I got pictures from Stephen A, and it looked crazy. They apparently went super hard and just beat the living crap out of each other, and it was a great
I've seen some photos on Twitter, and Drew literally looks like he's coming straight out of a horror movie.
Yeah, it looks
great. Oh my lord.
And now Drew is along with Takeda, a Triple Crown Deathmatch champion, winning both ones in Japan, Big Japan Freedoms and the Ultraviolent Championship.
Yeah.
So that's huge. He's like
Drew did it in quicker time.
Yeah, this is nuts, dude.
I put on Twitter, because shout out to Alex Jimenez for posting like the accolades. This is a god tier run Drew's on. This is god tier. This is not like this is like above S tier. This is god tier. This is literally, I mean, and mind you, I kind of want to talk about this because Drew had kind of brought it up a couple weeks ago on Twitter. He was kind of like on the fence about continuing to do death matches. He was like, I don't know what's the end goal here. Like, what am I doing here? Like, he kind of had one of those Twitter things. Yeah. And people were like, you have a point, but he's kept going with it. And he is not all, I put this out there as well, and you saw this. He's not a prince anymore. He's a freaking king. He's king.
100%. Yeah.
There, I mean, I really, really hope we get a, like, if not one, we get at least two more American runs out of Drew. And I know Freedoms is probably not going to be the kindest on this, but I'd like to see him defend that KFC belt overseas.
Well, we've seen the big Japan heavy deathmatch heavyweight in Showboat.
So yes, we have.
You know, and the ultra violence being defended in, it's been defended in Freedoms and Big Japan. So hopefully we'll see a title defense here.
Yeah, I think, I mean, Drew is just on another level.
Well, I want to see Joel also take the Australian belt to ICW, put that on the line too against Casey. I don't think it's going to happen.
I don't think he'll defend the Australian deathmatch belts if he won it. Wink, wink. But
yeah, I didn't know what to do about that. I literally like made a post and then,
okay. Yes. We'll go into it because again, it's live. It was live there and kind of half of us already got spoiled, but
well, they shared it. So it's fine. So
yeah, it's very good. Congrats Joel Bateman on winning Dream.
Yes. And the bell,
Callan and Joel was the final, which was Callan was trying to go for the repeat. He was trying to be like Alex Colon, who may or may not have kicked. He may have not been trying to be like the guy who may have beat his ass a while back. Okay. But no, congrats, Joel. But yeah, he's a three belt champ right now. Mm-hmm. He's got the Heathen Combat belt. He has got the ICW No Holds Barred American Deathmatch belt.
Mm-hmm.
Now he's got the Australian Deathmatch belt. Yes, I mean, I was going to say, forget about Kenny Omega collecting belts. Forget about a double collecting belts. Joel Bateman's the real belt collector of deathmatch wrestling right now. And we need to recognize that.
Ooh, I also was just sent something before, you know, kind of wrap it up.
Yeah.
October 16th de octubre e octubre.
Octubre?
Pagano versus Joey Janela in a dream match. Zona 23 versus GCW on Fight.
Oh my god.
Wow, let's go.
Pagano.
That's a cool one.
Pagano, man. That's another guy who doesn't get a much American presence anymore. It's a bummer. Pagano's so good. I like Pagano.
Missed seeing him in Dallas. I'd never seen him before.
Dude, what did you think of Pagano?
I didn't see him.
No Peace.
No Peace, yeah.
But yeah, it was Pagano and Sadika in that Lucha Extreme match.
Yeah.
But you know, Pagano's awesome. He's so dope. Against Janela of all people. Oh Lord.
Yeah.
Joey's gonna have his hands full.
Janela's going to Japan too for this Freedoms show. So who knows? Maybe we'll see, you know, Joey get a little ultra violent over there. I like Deathmatch Joey.
Awesome. I do too. I have always enjoyed Deathmatch Joey, but man, we went through a lot. It has been 45 plus minutes, y'all. We are just chugging along, rolling with the punches, as they say.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, this was just kind of a shoot the shit episode. I'm literally just gonna tell Mikey and Ryan, can we just name it the shoot the beep episode?
Yeah, shooting the shit on a Tuesday.
But yeah, you guys have been awesome though for supporting Your Dose of Death. This was kind of just more like a chill night for us routinely. But I think that's about it. Unless you have any last remarks or anything like that.
No, not really. Thank you everybody for your continued support. Continue to support Lauren and the good people in the deathmatch industry.
Oh yeah, and I mean, I'll say the same, support Mike at Kings Road Wrestling, literally the hardest working content creator out there today. Literally without Mike, Deathmatch Wrestling would not have as big of a platform as it does. I'm dead serious when I say that.
Thank you. That's all I care about is just putting it out there.
And I mean, for one, I mean, support the Deathmatch community, as Mike already said. But I got a busy few weeks. I got literally several wrestling shows that are going to span the next 3 days. And then, of course, mm-hmm. going to be in Detroit for Horror Slam. I'm going to be everywhere and anywhere. It's like,
I don't really have that many shows coming up. I'm kind of sad, but I'm job hunting. So
Yeah,
that's the process.
You know? I was gonna say, you gotta trust the process, Mike.
I'm in the process. You know, so I'll be at the Here and There show. I'll see you guys next month at ICW.
Yep.
And, but I'm gonna go to the Sediment Series and then drive over.
Oh yeah, jeez, you're gonna be.
Gonna have a day, yeah.
But I think that is all we got, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you guys so much. From Lauren to Mike, have a good night, guys.
This has been a Countout Podcast.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.